Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Julio Diaz joins us every Friday at this time. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock Saturdays on this station, and also the founder host of the Pensacola Movie Club. They watch movies and then talk about them usually on Thursday nights. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Slanted, that's what you watched last night?
Yeah, it's a bit of a light week for movies, which is to be expected because the Oscars are this weekend, and
sure.
they usually don't want to. The studios don't typically want to compete with slapping themselves on the back. So, just a couple of smaller films this week. Slanted is the one that I chose to see, and it's an interesting film. I don't know that it quite succeeds in what it wants to do, but I found it. I overall enjoyed it. It could be a little better, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of a satirical sci-fi slash comedy slash body horror film. And the best comparison I can put here is, imagine if you combine Mean Girls with The Substance.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it stars a young Asian woman. She has come to America as a very small child. She's grown up in American culture. She's very much a westernized child, but her parents are not. They still don't really speak English. They speak Chinese. And she has grown up idolizing prom queens and has been obsessed with the idea of being the prom queen.
Okay.
And, but of course she feels different. She's seen as different, and people, he gets a lot of prejudice, things like that. She undergoes an experimental procedure to become white and turns into McKenna Grace.
Typical
blonde hair, blue eyed, beautiful young woman. And, things happen as a result. I don't want to get too much into what happened
here,
but yeah. It says some very pointed things. It in some parts is very funny. I feel like it could be a little tighter. It could be a little shorter. I talked to some other people who just thought it was outright terrible. I thought it was pretty good. The reviews are kind of more on my side, winning 73% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, you and I both know that sometimes, you kind of forgive a movie its flaws if it asks an interesting enough question or says enough interesting things along the way. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes that can make up for it. Reminder of him?
This is another Colleen Hoover adaptation. She's kind of the weepy, dramedy author of the moment. The stars Micah Monroe, who is an actress I normally really like, starred in movies like It Follows and Long Legs. She plays a young woman who has gone to prison after a DUI that killed her husband, and has never gotten to know her daughter. She was pregnant when this happened, or I'm not sure what exactly. Maybe she had just had the baby. I'm not clear on that. The daughter has been raised by her husband's parents. And now that she's out of jail, she wants to come back to her life and meet her daughter, and the parents want nothing to do with her. She goes to work, ironically, in a bar owned by a friend of her husband, and a romance blooms between them. And so she's on this road to redemption, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, fair enough.
Not great reviews on this. Good cast, though. Not just Micah Monroe, but Lauren Graham, Bradley Whitford. This is a movie that...
Oh, okay.
I like a lot of the actors in it, but I have absolutely no interest in the subject.
Well, sometimes they take work because work is offered, right? So I understand.
Yeah.
And Undertow, last one for the week?
Undertone, yeah. This
oh,
is
Tone, excuse
movie.
Me.
So you'll get why the title, and I described this as a podcast horror movie. This is somebody that hosts a supernatural podcast starts becoming haunted by these strange recordings that get sent to them. So kind of a sound-based horror movie, which to me, put me in the mind of a movie called Skinamarink that came out a couple of years ago that some people thought was brilliant and I thought was just the most boring thing that ever existed. I thought it was barely a movie, and I don't know what people were thinking. This movie is getting okay reviews as well. It's in the 71% range. So,
Maybe worth checking out. What are you going to watch next week?
There's a couple of interesting things coming out next week. We've got Ready or Not 2 is out next week, which I was a big fan of the first film, so I was looking forward to that. And also Project Hail Mary, which is a science fiction film starring Ryan Gosling. It's based on a novel by the same author that wrote The Martian.
Okay.
And it is, and the screenplay is written by the same author that wrote the screenplay for The Martian as well. So Drew Goddard, who's a great filmmaker in his own right. And I'm very interested in that film as well. So kind of a game time decision. We'll see what happens.
Writing, story, adaptation, and directing. That's usually the recipe. So we'll cross our fingers. Julio Diaz, he hosts Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock here on Saturdays on News Radio and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow him on Facebook. Julio, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound trying to go over the Escambia Bay Bridge, traffic is backed up almost to Davis Highway due to an earlier accident. That is down to one lane. That is going to be that way for a while. So just plan an alternate route. Also, I-10 westbound as you're coming into Pensacola via the Escambia Bay Bridge, seeing some backups there also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Culver's could have only started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland, like the real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers, farm fresh dairy in their frozen custard, made fresh daily at each restaurant, or even their crispy golden Wisconsin cheese curds. Lent is upon us, and Culver's featuring cod, shrimp, and walleye sandwiches and dinners. Culver's, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, Highway 90 in Milton, and opening in May at Pine Forest and I-10. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and curbside services available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, this is Adana from Mathnasium. Mathnasium is thrilled to join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9. If you have school-aged kids, you won't want to miss this. Whether your child is catching up, keeping up, or ready to get ahead, Mathnasium has a solution tailored just for them. We're not just teaching math, we're changing lives through it. I can't wait to dive into the world of Mathnasium with you on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You ever hear something in the news and think,
that can't be real?
MVR breaks it down weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Timothy Chalamet, who recently insulted the art forms of opera and ballet during a town hall with Matthew McConaughey.
And I don't want to be working in ballet or opera or, you know, things where it's like, hey, keep this thing alive, even though no one cares about this anymore.
Yeah.
All respect to the ballet and opera people out there. I just lost 14 cents in viewership.
So dismissive and contemptuous. Now look, we of course recognize that traditionally ballet and opera have been cultural tools of the one percenters, and as such, we cannot invest ourselves heavily in defending them. Occupy the Opera House isn't even one of our top 100 protest chants. However, as people who do not believe in trampling the dreams of anyone, especially dancers and singers, we find this to be a tone harshness transgression level 3.5, and Chalamet must be punished. As Woketopian Emeritus Whoopi Goldberg said,
when you crap on somebody else's art form,
yeah,
it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to see.
And that's the point. It's not about the fact of whether these arts are thriving or struggling. The point is that Chalamet hurt people's feelings, and he needs to be punished for doing so. However, he did not do the worst thing in this particular incident. No, the real transgression was committed by rapper-influencer Doja Cat, who began at first by criticizing Chalamet, and pretty acerbically.
Hey, by the way, opera is 400 years old. Ballet is 500 years old. There is an etiquette around opera. There is etiquette around ballet. It's amazing. It's an amazing theater medium. It's f-ing beautiful.
That was perfect. Delivering the sort of anti-white, anti-male comeuppance that only someone as classy and dignified as Doja Cat and all her F-bomb erudition can perform. The problem wasn't her initial criticism. The problem is what came next. For on the following day, she deleted her original TikTok and then posted a follow-up video in which she admitted that not only had she never been to the opera or the ballet, but that she didn't really know anything about them. And that she was really only posting the TikTok to virtue signal against Chalamet and to make herself feel good by pretending to be on the right side of a cancellation movement on social media.
But what I was doing yesterday was virtue signaling because I wanted to connect. And I knew that Timothy's goof up was something that I could leverage. It's like I wanted to be sincere in a moment, and that was the perfect material for me to seem sincere. But the truth is I don't know anything about opera. I don't know anything about ballet, and I've never been to either shows.
No. This will not do. The absolute worst thing anyone can do isn't to say a mean thing like Chalamet did. The worst thing anyone can do is to expose the real narcissism behind canceling itself and then apologize for doing the very ritual which is the central sacrament of our movement. Virtue signaling as part of a groupthink expression of collective outrage against a person, preferably male and white, who says something mean so that we can feel good about ourselves and our moral superiority. No, Doja Cat, it is mildly misguided for you to reverse course in your criticism, but it is absolutely heretical for you to talk about the holy act of cancellation as if it could ever be a mistaken expression of ignorance and insecurity, seeking social approval through unjustified expressions of outrage while pretending to be an expert on anything you express your outrage over. How dare you? So for this, Timothée Chalamet has received a level 2 cancellation, suspended for good looks, but Doja Cat is being given a level 5 cancellation. I know, to be enforced immediately across all social platforms, the tribe of pretentious bourgeoisie arts aficionados posers has spoken. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to take just a moment to praise Dr. Kaya Oakes, a professor of writing at UC Berkeley, for her wonderful meditation on Lent from the perspective of a certified wokist, 3 oregano leaves. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't do this, but just because Kaya herself chose to include the president's actual name in the title of her essay, and since she is a highly esteemed professor of writing, not creative writing, mind you, just writing, we will honor her decision by saying his name just one time. Gird yourselves for the trauma this will cause. The name of her essay is What Lent Asks of Christians Rethinking Trump. Okay. Is everyone all right after hearing the unmentionable one's name? I'm sorry we had to do that. Anyhow. The basic premise of her article is that the time of reflection and self-examination which Lent calls for shouldn't only be used to avoid certain foods like meat or to give up coffee or chocolate or whatever passes for a Lenten sacrifice these days. It also shouldn't only be used to give up sinful activities such as driving a non-electric vehicle, eating food that has a face, or watching Taylor Sheridan shows. She says the real work of Lenten repentance is for all those who have supported this presidential regime to rethink their life choices and turn away from that most serious of sins and throw themselves on the mercy of Mother Gaia. Yes, leave MAGA for Mogaia. As she notes, Lent offers a specific window for Christians to consider what it means to atone for beliefs and actions that have damaged other people. Those beliefs and actions can include voting choices that empower candidates who do damage. In other words, repenting from participating in the material evil of MAGA is the only way for the faithful to purify themselves for Easter. Now, apart from the premise here that Christianity is in any way a true, valid, or legitimate religious system, which it most certainly is not, we love this admonition because it does the one thing that must always be done to advance our own religion of wokeism: make everything about politics and make politics about everything. As von Habermeyer's fifth postulate on purifying the chi teaches us, our lives only matter insofar as we devote them to the evangelism of our political movement by any means necessary. Salvation through political victory, which means that shame, anger, and joy are all mere tools toward the grand end of political domination. So here we have a genuine expert on matters of theology, ontology, and ethics, a professor of writing at Berkeley, taking something that people might otherwise think has nothing to do with politics, Lent, and converting it into its truest self, a holy period of partisanship. So well done, Dr. Oakes, and thank you for reminding us that totalistic systems like ours totally depend on the totality of everything being totally about politics all the time. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's Birkenstock of Justice, Inclusion, and Love Award goes to the organizers of the Los Angeles Marathon. Now, obviously, a lot of attention's been given to the finish of the race, but there's a much but that's much less important than the beautiful and kind decision that was made by the organizers in anticipation of the high heat expected on race day. The McCourt Foundation announced that the race would feature not one, but two finish lines, one at the traditional 26.2-mile mark, the literal definition of a marathon, and one at the 18-mile mark, an accommodation for people who might be struggling to run the full 26 miles due to the heat. Toward the end of the race route, full-length competitors would continue on, take a U-turn, and run back along the same path to the finish line. But anyone who felt the heat was getting the better of them could turn left early and complete an 18-mile route. And, of course, be granted a medallion for completing the race just like everyone else. No one was to be penalized for quitting early, shortened distance, but full honors. As the organizers said, if you're having a tough day and want to end your race before the 26-mile mark, you can choose to turn at mile 18 and head to the finish line early. There is no shame in making a smart decision for your body. You will still receive your finisher medal and any challenge medal you've earned. Well, you can guess the rest. Some of the harshest bullies on social media tried to say this is somehow a violation of the basic idea of having a marathon, since 18 miles isn't one. District GOP Chair Lisa Cusack wrote, "People who don't finish the marathon can now identify as people who do finish the marathon." Another keyboard warrior added, "Next thing you know, they're going to talk about how brave the people that stop at 18 miles are compared to those who finish, because it takes a big person to quit and embrace that emotional and mental strain of recognizing when you need to quit. Mockery is not truth." But that's exactly right. People who identify as marathon finishers are finishers indeed. Just look at the medallion they wear to prove it. And people who bravely know their own limits and quit early deserve credit for not pushing themselves to the brink of personal injury or death, as Pheidippides, the original marathon runner, did in bringing the news of victory over to the Persians, to his Athenian countrymen, promptly dying from exhaustion thereafter. It's just so sad and predictable that the anti-wokists of this world want to treat everyone equally instead of realizing that for some people, 18 miles is more of an accomplishment than 26 is for others. This ableism just saturates their thinking, as if standards and measurements and times and distances are objective facts that all people should share and not bend to individual need. But as the party who stands for affirmation and inclusion, who invented the participation medallion, we love what Los Angeles has done here. If only they'd gone farther. Instead of making people run a grueling 18 miles in the heat, they should have let each runner decide for themselves what a marathon meant to they. Should they run maybe 15 miles and identify as a completer? Some could run 3 miles, and according to that beautiful inner barometer of truth each man, woman, or other holds in their own heart, they could have been a marathon for them. Even 1,000 feet for some people might be a massive accomplishment, and that's the point. Instead of making people feel bad they didn't run an actual marathon, we should judge each person by their own set of guidelines and reward them accordingly. So whether someone runs 26 miles in the heat, 18 miles in the heat, or just 18 feet in a straight line indoors in the air conditioning of their own living room, everyone can be a winner, because winning isn't just for winners anymore. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I did have someone text me and say he felt offended and marginalized because the largest dimension in his living room is 16 feet and he didn't feel like he could participate adequately. And I said, I'm sorry for, you know, putting you on the outside of our circle of love and acceptance. So fair enough. John Pickens has got traffic. I mean, you just have to not discriminate against people based on their housing circumstances. Yeah, it's just right. Vital. All right. John's got traffic on the five. John.
All right. So if you're on I-10 eastbound and wanting to go over the Scambia Bay Bridge, well, good luck with that one. Traffic is down to one lane and it is backed up almost to Davis Highway. So expect about a 45-minute to an hour delay. And that's going to be there for a while as they try to figure out what to do with that dump truck that's half hanging over the bridge. And westbound, coming over the Escambia Bay Bridge, seeing about a 20-minute delay as onlookers are looking at the truck. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I feel like this is either going to be a, 10 hours or 2 days later, kind of problem. And it's going to be one lane until they get it fixed because they can't safely put traffic through there. Or else you just call four guys from Shamukla. You get them in there with their pickups, some rope and some, some ratchet straps. And, they'll have it fixed in a few minutes.
Yeah, no, don't worry deal, about whatever. It.
I mean, it might mean that the back end of the truck goes into the water, but, whatever. Hey, they'll fix whatever. It, one way or the other.
It's a good reason.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth saying the U.S. is winning the war in Iran this morning. He had his Pentagon press briefing. We carried that here earlier today. Hegseth says it hasn't been a fair fight. He said overwhelming air power has decimated Iranian military assets. And TSA workers missing their first full paycheck today as the partial government shutdown continues on. Andrew, the workers who screen passengers at airports are paid through the Department of Homeland Security. It's been shut down now since last month.
All right, very good, David. Target is going to stop selling Captain Crunch, Apple Jacks, Fruit Loops, and Lucky Charms because...
Why?
...of food dye. No really? More dyes in there. Also, Ken Jennings is getting canceled on YouTube. It's a hilarious story. We'll talk about it during the wrap.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. They're confused, and we know it. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth calls Iran increasingly desperate.
We know the new so-called not-so-supreme leader is wounded and likely disfigured.
At today's Pentagon briefing, saying we will show no mercy and that today will yet again be the highest volume of strikes over Iran. President Trump tells Fox Radio's The Brian Kilmeade Show.
We've already damaged them so badly it would take years for them to ever rebuild. And we're going to be hitting them very hard over the next week.
CENTCOM reports four U.S. crew members died after their KC-135 refueling aircraft went down in Iraq on a combat mission, not by hostile or friendly fire. Heroes all, says Secretary of War Pete Hegseth. The price of oil trending lower. President Trump is temporarily lifting sanctions to let countries buy Russian oil stranded at sea. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 44 degrees right now. We've got sunshine this morning. Watching this situation on the Escambia Bay Bridge, down to one lane of travel due to a dump truck crash, truck hanging off of the bridge. We'll get an update from John in just a few minutes on that. The Florida legislative session is ending today with no budget, no property tax referendum. State Representative Alex Andrade this morning saying all bills that haven't been ratified by both chambers will be dead by noon.
So we'll essentially start from scratch. The only thing we agreed to as the House and the Senate was something Senator Gates put on the tax packages, essentially deleting everything in our proposed tax packages and just saying we are going to decouple from the federal tax cuts that were part of the one big, beautiful bill, just because that would essentially be a $3 billion revenue loss to the state this year.
Andrade does say legislators will likely have to return for a special session on the budget. He says a property tax special session also needs to happen by either April or May to make the November ballot. Santa Rosa County has the final piece needed to complete the Eglin Ribs effluent project on Navarre Beach. Edwin Henry donating the last utility easement needed this week. Commissioner Ray Eddington said getting that over the finish line has been a long process.
Michael, me, Tom, we have worked on getting this little section, and it took a while. And I want to thank y'all being on board to get this done. And it's a big improvement for the beach down there. And Navarre.
The project will get effluent out of the Sound. The county can now start running the rest of the pipe needed for that project. The Sheriff's Rodeo in Santa Rosa County happening today and tomorrow at the AIDS Arena. Sheriff Bob Johnson says that event raises money for the Sheriff's Star Foundation.
It's going to be at the arena, the AIDS Arena right there, just past the Sheriff's office. And we put it on. This is going to be our third year, and all proceeds go toward the Star Foundation, which is a foundation that we started at the Sheriff's Office to we assist the public with it, and also officers if they come upon hard times, like we've had a couple that have had cancer and they've had to travel for treatment and stuff like that. We can cut them a check and help with, you know, bring their family in, that kind of thing.
Gates open at 5 p.m. both nights for that Sheriff's Rodeo event. A bill heading to Governor DeSantis would temporarily restore HIV medication coverage for thousands of Floridians.
The measure was passed in the House Thursday to fund the AIDS Drug Assistance Program through June 30th. Floridians lost access on March 1st after the Department of Health cited a $120 million shortfall caused by federal funding reductions. Our very own Republican Representative Alex Andrade was among supporters pushing for the fix and for monthly accounting reports from the Department of Health on the program. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Well, new details on that Bruton murder case we've been following. Court records show 27-year-old Anna Brown, who was the victim in that shooting, was pregnant when she was shot and killed on McGowan Road March 6th. 46-year-old suspect Renata Seltzer reportedly confessed to investigators on that shooting. The charge will be presented to a grand jury as capital murder. Seltzer's being held without bond under Aeneas Law. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. And checking in with John Pickens for a look at our traffic on the fives.
Yeah, well, we've got some bad news. I-10 eastbound, if you're trying to get over the Escambia Bay Bridge, is completely shut down right now. They've got a crane trying to lift that dump truck up, and that way it doesn't fall over into the water. But again, that is all shut down right now. I don't even see traffic moving eastbound on the bridge at all. Westbound is slow and go. So if you have to go that way, please take scenic to Highway 90, 90 to Avalon, and then you get right back on your way. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
Starting off cool today with temperatures this afternoon near 67 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 53 degrees. For Saturday, sunny skies, high near 72. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. Going into Sunday, partly cloudy skies, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise mostly sunny, high near 77. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping to 52. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got right now 45 degrees. It is sunny this morning. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now this hour. Taking a look at our opening prices on the markets. Looks like the markets are up here at the opening bell. The Dow up 70. The Dow is up 0.75%. And that's about 341 and three quarters points. 47,019.58 right now. The S&P 500 up just under 0.5%, 67,01.85. NASDAQ is up about 0.25% this morning at 22,364.89. The 10-year bond rate down slightly, 4.24%. Gold prices are down 1140 at 5,114.40. Silver's down 79 cents at 84.33. And, well, what everybody's watching, oil down just about 2.25%. 2.3% this morning. Current price at $93.51 a barrel. Crypto, Bitcoin is up 26.10 at 72.927 right now, and the rest of the crypto market up slightly as well. Taking a look at our financial headlines this hour. Bipartisan legislation that could make housing more affordable is advancing in Congress.
The 21st Century Road to Housing Act was written by senators who don't often see eye to eye, Republican Tim Scott and Democrat Elizabeth Warren. The bill passed the Senate with 89 votes. The 300-page piece of legislation creates a series of grants and pilot programs for housing construction and will keep Wall Street from buying up single-family homes. The bill now goes to the House, where it faces an uncertain future. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Thank you very much, Rory. Well, the U.S. economy grew slower than expected for the last quarter of 2025, the weakest numbers since the first quarter of that year. A report out this morning from the Bureau of Economic Analysis showing that the GDP expanded 0.7%, well below analysts' estimates of 1.4%. For the full year, GDP growth was 2.1%. The slower growth numbers were linked to downward revisions to exports and consumer spending. The PCE price index, a key inflation measure used by the Federal Reserve, rose by 0.4% last month over January. That puts the annual inflation at 3.1%, a number above the Fed's ideal 2% target. TSA workers missing their first full paycheck today as that partial government shutdown drags on.
The workers who screen passengers at America's airports are paid through the Department of Homeland Security, which has been shut down since last month as Congress has failed to reach a bipartisan budget compromise. TSA agents received only 30% of their pay in the last check 2 weeks ago, but today they'll miss their first full paycheck and are still expected to show up for work. Over 300 TSA officers have quit since the shutdown began, and the number of those calling in sick has more than doubled. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
It's 8:39, your next news at 9. Breaking news anytime, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump! Jump!
I said a hip. The hibbity
hip,
hip hobby, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a
wrap. Wrap up the circle thing. I love it. By the way, we've got the truck, the dump truck. But eastbound is totally closed right now, but the dump truck, looks like they've got it. Would you say, John, they've almost got it up and off of the side? That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, it is
me.
Up and off the side, and they've actually got it completely on the road right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, you know, hey, it may not be closed as long as I had thought, but I had thought this wouldn't be closed for like hours, so we'll see. So Josh Newby and Jeremy Evans are here in studio with me. One of my favorite pairings. I love to get you guys. I don't normally get you together because you each have your separate week normally, mm-hmm. So it's kind of a treat for us this week. Yeah. I mentioned before the break that we talk about Ken Jennings getting canceled on YouTube. The short version of this story is Ken Jennings does a podcast, the Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings, does a podcast. And in this particular podcast, they are talking about the Elders of the Protocols of Zion, which is this fake document that's been used to promote lies about Jews through the years that they have a global conspiracy to take over. It's this completely false document. Everybody knows it's false except for all the dummies who keep thinking it's true. And so they do a podcast explaining why it's false, explaining why anti-Semitism is bad and how people shouldn't fall for this crap. YouTube, in some way or other, decides that this is actually anti-Semitic because they're talking about anti-Semitism even while they're criticizing this fake anti-Semitic document. And so we assume at some level the AI filters at YouTube decide, no, you can't do this. So they ban them. They appeal. They uphold the ban, I think, through like June.
Jeez.
What?
are we still on the air right now?
Have
the AI filters removed you yet?
What am I more at risk of, you know, James Uthmeyer or the AI filters? I don't know who's going to get me first.
They're both coming for you.
Right. You know, it's coming at me from both sides. Yeah. So
I think this, I mean, it's obviously ridiculous, but the larger issue is that we are ceding so much of our intellectual capacity for conversation and free speech and dialogue to an inhumane and inhuman technology. It's ridiculous. I am anti-AI.
I will be
anti-AI until the day that I die. We are sacrificing and jeopardizing our humanity so that we don't have to spend 5 seconds drafting an email. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think YouTube has been for a long time. It will take them a long time to recover from the ads being on terrorist propaganda. And so they are going to go far, far to the other side to make sure that they are never again put in a position of having to defend their platform for doing something that could be perceived as being something inappropriate. But when you cede the power to AI, you have to have a robust and healthy group of humans who overlook those decisions and the appeal. So to me, the issue is not the AI. It's whatever group the appeal was that was
the
like,
power in there, yeah.
Yeah, that after the fact were like, yeah, we're going to go with that.
So you think this is like an overly cautious Section 230 thing?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, if that survives, you know, Petronas's filing of the PROTECT Act, which he actually filed back in January, but it's getting a little bit more attention now, and that might eliminate Section 230 and take away the we're not publishers, we're just platforms kind of defense that the various forms of social media use.
I don't know how they're not telecommunications.
Yeah, I don't either. I just think they're straight up, you know, I don't, well, anyway.
They're a utility.
Yeah, but we'll see how that plays out too, because, you know, they want to control with the algorithm,
right?
But they don't want the responsibility of having to have input, you know, and control, yeah. Which you got to pick.
Right.
You can't have both. And I've always said, like, just let me pick my algorithm. I'll tell you which sources I want to watch. I'll tell you which I don't. That friend who I keep fighting with, I don't want to see his stuff a lot. Just let me pick my sources. Give me power. Of course, that won't allow them to addict me, shade me, add to me, all the things that they want to do, right?
Or monetize the people who want your eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you may deselect them.
Right. I may not want to watch the people that are paying them more.
Correct.
So, okay. What is? I think I made a post on Facebook the other day. It's funny. On Facebook, I made a post. I get the irony, yes. And sure, it's a luxury of me being on the radio to complain about social media. That's everybody else's radio, TV, and newspaper. But okay, fair enough. I think I said that social media companies argue that the biggest downside of eliminating Section 230 protection for their content is it would practically end their ability to operate. To which I thought, I'm still waiting to hear the downside.
Yeah.
We'd be better off without social media.
There are good things, obviously. I use it every day. There are good things. But, man, you can't believe on net it's good for us.
Correct.
In any way. Same for AI. You know, exactly. There are good things. Yeah. But you just can't believe on net this is good for the human race. Yeah. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still dealing with the accident that happened on I-10 eastbound on the Escambia Bay Bridge. Good news is that they've got the truck not dangling off the side anymore. They actually have it on the bridge, but they are diverting traffic to Scenic Highway to take Scenic to 90 to get around that, because the Escambia Bay Bridge eastbound is closed right now as they try to remove that truck. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Now, somebody texted in, if the Jewish people were going to take over the world, you think they would have accomplished it by now?
We would have.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, no. You've done it, and we just don't realize it.
That's right. We're a shadow organization for a reason, Andrew.
All the ridiculous, stupid things. Oh, my God. It's so terrible. Oh, on the AI thing, I had a chance to talk about this maybe one time this week briefly. I didn't do it as much as I wanted to, but I'm curious to get, I know where you're going to be on this, Josh, and I'm curious where you are, Jeremy. I had a post on something or other. It was meant to be some pithy insight, you know, kind of thing. And somebody responded with a very well-reasoned, well-articulated 3 points. Here's why you're not taking account of all the situation. And I read it. And I'm like, now I got to respond. And wait a minute. This is too good. Because 10 years of teaching college, you learn. And I'm like, you didn't write. Then the more I read it, the more obvious it was this was AI. And I flamed him. I just said, hey, I don't fight with computers. Go post this nonsense somewhere else. This is for humans only. I'm not getting into an argument with a machine, which may have been a little strong, but it's definitely how I feel. If I have to engage in arguments with machines on social media, I just won't do social media. I'll quit, you know? So
no, these people need to be shamed.
The people that are outsourcing their brains?
Yes.
I don't disagree.
They deserve social shame.
I think right now we're in a really... So I deal with this on a regular basis. I send lots of professional communication in my job, and I find myself having to read something and say, is this too good?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to dumb this down a little so that the person that I'm sending it to knows that I wrote it, as opposed to... And you can always tell
you
because
you have to pretend to be stupid so the other people don't think you're AI.
You have to pretend to know, like, I'm not going to use dashes. I'm not going to use, like, not just, like, good grammar, but perfect grammar.
Right, yeah.
And just try to scale things back a little bit for exactly the reason that you said. Instead of being like, this is a really sound, really well-reasoned, really well-written argument, your brain goes to, this is not a human.
Right.
And so there is this sweet spot of, this is a really well-written human communicating to me, and somebody didn't even spend the time to make the argument. And it goes from, this took care and I love it and I need to respond to it with care, to this is worthless. And it's like the the Price is Right.
Cliffhanger, yeah.
And then you're off the
when
cliff.
When you're over, you're off the cliff.
Right. Yeah.
I have found that there's an inverse relationship between the amount of power you have or the level of professionalism that you have attained and the amount of proper grammar that you use. Mm. You know, I mean, genuinely, you will be emailing with someone in a high position of power, and they will email back misspellings, they will email back, you know, bad grammar, because they are very busy and they also don't care.
Yeah.
You know? But I used
President
to love,
Trump said what?
I used to love an M dash. I really used to love an M dash.
Can't do it anymore.
And now I can't do it anymore.
It means you're AI.
I know. I hate it.
So it's funny in this context. I was reading a story yesterday about there's a New York Times piece about kids pushing back against AI at a school where they wanted to give everybody Chromebooks and you had to do all your work on them, and they were upset because the AI is going to monitor them and their privacy and their location are all part of the data, and they said, hell no. But at another school, the kids were pushing back because they have been told not to use AI, but the teachers use it. And on the one hand, yes, but the teacher's not there to learn how to do English, you know? But also, yeah. Aren't we supposed to have people do the job?
I mean, I think that there is some point when you're talking about education that do you need to learn how to do advanced statistics by hand to prove that you can do it? Like in the 1,000, 2,000 level class.
Yeah.
Yes. Once you do that by hand, are you ever going to do it again? Are you going to use the Excel spreadsheet or the calculator or the things? And so this is just more advanced AI. I think that educators do a mistake if we get through a senior year in college and kids don't know how to responsibly use AI, because the reality is, in the status quo, once you get into the work environment, the real world, if you're not using AI, you're failing.
You know what I found horrifying? I was doing this subject the other day, and somebody sent in and said, so I asked AI what Andrew McKay's opinion of AI would be and sent me the readout.
Was it accurate?
No, it was terrible. But I think it's just because they didn't feed the AI enough on my podcasts. I think that if you put in all the podcasts and all the transcripts, how close would AI get to predicting my monologues?
It would get really good. Like I use AI occasionally, and I will create closed universes where I feed it information that I wanted to have.
Yeah, right.
And then we'll have conversations back and forth with it to get to a reasonable point. But I fully understand the material I'm feeding it to begin with. And that's, you kind of get to that point of, okay, now it's understanding what we're talking about. But it takes a lot of work. You can't just say, what would Andrew McKay think of AI?
But if you feed it enough information.
Garbage in, garbage out.
What if my wife decides that the best way for her to win something that she's kind of not sure she can win with me is to go ask AI the most effective persuasion for, you know, like, these are the kinds of applications that are going to be, if not now, are going to come.
Yeah.
Right? How do I woo this woman, you know, Cyrano de Bergerac in my ear? How do I win this argument with this person? How do I make my point more effectively given their background? I mean, that's coming, right?
You
want to repeat what you said before about how much you hate AI?
I'm trying to not use profanity.
I understand.
I'm going through.
By the way, that's going to be the mark, is when we use profanity, they'll know it's us. Yeah. And eventually the AI will be taught how to be flawed and use profanity and be more human in the ways that you look for as the flaws. Anyway, go ahead, Josh.
I don't think Skynet or T-1000 or any, I'm sort of an AI pessimist. I know that it has grown exponentially over the past number of years. In 2022, we could never imagine AI generated videos and all this. But I do think that it is cresting, because, and I don't see it taking over the world for the simple fact that more often than not, it just does not freaking work.
You have to go back
and forth with it so much. You have to fine tune your prompt so much for any sort
you
of like
do as much work getting
argument.
It right.
Yes, exactly.
Just get it right.
And I think humans, and God bless kids who are realizing this, you learn the most on your first draft. And yeah, if you outsource that to AI, then you're skipping the work. You're skipping the knowledge production. And I hope and think that AI is just not going to ever be up to snuff.
Would love to have your optimism about this.
Thank you.
Let's switch gears a little bit because, Josh, you said you wanted to talk about this. Interesting conversation, at least I think, because the Escambia County Commission, a couple of meetings ago, threw out Andrew Bluer for saying racist and sexist stuff. And it got to be over the line, and Ashley Hoffberger said, yeah, you're done. And I don't want you coming back, frankly. I don't think she can accomplish that, but okay. So then Jerry Cooey, you know, gadfly curmudgeon, thinks he's the man of all the people. Fine, whatever. I get along with Jerry. You know, sometimes he's right. Okay. But he crosses the water from Santa Rosa, goes to Escambia to tell them, you better not do this again or I'm coming for you, whatever that means. You'll have to deal with me personally, I think was his exact expression. And so I spent some time talking about how the public forum portion, the open without any target, you know, it's not an agenda item portion of county commission, city council meetings is a luxury. Mm-hmm. It's not, you're not entitled to it under the First Amendment. There's no Sunshine Law does not obligate them to give you that time. It's a luxury. Now, if they got rid of it, they'd probably get voted out of office. But the entitlement mindset of these frequent participants in the open forum that you better give me my 3 minutes to talk about anything I want and on every agenda item, too. And at the end of the meeting, I've spoke for 30 minutes and tough for you. I mean, it's absurd. And sometimes it gets in the way of the meeting being productive. And for me, who watches them all.
Well, there are time, place, and manner restrictions, right, upheld by the Supreme Court for a reason. I am a
The sidewalk isn't the boardroom.
Correct, right. And I am a bit of a free speech absolutist. I do think that all speech should be aired. You shouldn't quell anything. You know, the proper way to combat that is through argumentation. Obviously, that doesn't always apply to a deliberative body trying to, you know, get business done. But I do also see the other side of it where these commissioners from the dais and their delicate sensibilities, like you can take some criticism, and frankly, you can take some racism, you can take some sexism. That says more about the person saying it. The quickest way to have an idiot, you know, disprove himself is just let the idiot
speak. Them keep saying more and more and more.
And I think you do more via the Streisand effect by trying to quash that than you do by just
don't look at my house. Letting them go. Oh, no. Yes, everybody's seen your house. Right. No, I think there's some value in that. Well, I'll get Jeremy's view on this in just a second. We've got Josh Newby and Jeremy Evans in here for the wrap. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound over the Escambia Bay Bridge is still completely closed right now. They are diverting traffic onto Scenic Highway due to that earlier accident with the dump truck. The dump truck is back on the bridge, but they're still trying to get that mess cleaned up. Again, that's I-10 eastbound over the Escambia Bay Bridge. Just avoid that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And, you know, it's funny because I can imagine somebody saying, what do you do for your job? Well, we tell people about dump trucks over bridges closing roads. And then be like, what? And I say, we save people hours of their day.
There you go.
Yeah. Which we had a couple of text people. Thank God you were telling me this because it's a mess. Jeremy, the profanity question is also interesting.
It is.
And also the, you know, offensive content that's not profanity, that's just racism, sexism, whatever.
I think the freedom of speech is I'm somewhat of an absolutist also, but I think it's also horribly misunderstood.
Yeah.
The freedom of speech does not mean that you can say whatever you want to without consequence. The freedom of speech says you can say most things that you want to without being arrested, stoned, killed,
right,
which we still see in many places around the world. Mm-hmm. But if you're a professional athlete and you go and say something that all of your advertisers and followers disagree with, that does not mean that you are free from the consequences of what those actions and what those statements are.
Even while we might criticize the response and the canceling, there's still just truth about human nature and the response to the things you say. If I say stupid things on the radio, I won't have a job for a long time.
It is legal for any American who is an athlete to kneel during the national anthem at some kind of event. They can do that. There are consequences for that. There are places around the world that if you were to do that, you probably would.
Well, the Iranian soccer team in Australia who didn't sing the national anthem and, you know, some became refugees and some went home because they didn't want their families killed. And, I mean, that's Iran.
But is Chair Hoffberger the government in this instance?
So one of my least favorite things about President Trump is I do believe in a bit of I want my 11-year-old to be experienced the entirety of their government.
Okay.
And so if we were sitting around watching the county commission hearings and there's somebody that's blatantly saying things I wouldn't want my 11-year-old to say,
Larry Downs Jr.
to hear, then
he's made a point out of it.
I think there is a place to say, this isn't the time and the place to have those conversations.
Okay. But what, but so I see the profanity question is one question, but then the racism, sexism, just sheer stupidity or offensive things.
Right.
You know, talking about staff, I might draw the line there, you know, but, you know, engaging in what the Florida legislature would call personalities.
Yes.
You know, you're not allowed to do that. I don't think that some of these questions, I don't think have quite been solved by the Supreme Court, frankly. You can't disrupt the meeting, you can't chant in the meeting, but can you swear in the meeting? It's a little open at the moment. All right, we got like 30 seconds left.
Let's solve free speech.
Andrew Hobbs, oh, Pensacola State. What is DeSantis has lost his mind.
Yeah, he never had it.
Come on. He did good during COVID.
I think he is fading into the end of property taxes, which has been his big thing for the past. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Legislature doesn't seem like they're hammering a ton of his big priorities. He hasn't endorsed anybody to be the next governor.
Yeah,
so
that's
I think
weird
that
too.
The DeSantis legacy is fading quietly into the good
maybe
night.
Maybe he can exert some long-distance effect on the university system through the iron fist of appointments, board members, and maybe his own future as a president. I don't know. Well, Josh, you're just giving me that look. Yeah. I love that look. Thank you so much for the good conversation, Jeremy and Josh. Always fun. Meg's up next. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3.